Hawaii's medical community is bracing for a surge in hospitalizations for cases of COVID-19. This week, we're looking to see how hospitals are helping their staff cope. When you think of rounds in a hospital setting, you probably think of a doctor checking in on the patient. Well, Queens Medical Center has adopted something called Schwartz Rounds. It's about self-care, a kind of psychological first aid. Catherine Cruz invited Lara Hazenfeld and Dr. Della Lynn to talk about how it's been reaching out to caregivers in the Queens health systems.
Schwartz Rounds is one way, and this is a global program now. And this is by a fellow named Ken Schwartz when he was dying of lung cancer several years ago. And he wrote this op-ed in, I believe it was the Boston Globe at the time, talking about two things in particular that were of concern to him as he was going through this as a patient. That one, that he was so heartfelt and appreciative and floored by the incredible care that he got from his caregivers, but at the same time, he was increasingly concerned about their well-being because of the stresses of the job, the intensity, the pace, increasing pace of the job, and the ability to maintain compassion and empathy and care when you're under that level of pressure and intensity all the time. So before he died, he started this foundation called the Schwartz Center. And really, it's around just helping providers, caregivers, find a place where they can communicate and connect and share thoughts and talk about challenges in patient care in a way that's much more personal and intimate, and talk about the impacts that it has in a way that they can heal together and bond together as a community and find strength together.
And so, Dr. Lynn, you've been helping to facilitate these sessions with the doctors.
I think kind of in context, so I'm a physician and I'm an anesthesiologist, but I also work in the area of patient safety. And I got very interested in the patient safety being impacted by clinicians suffering from burnout, and that sort of connects with our current crisis. But for the past 6 years, I've been holding these workshops and seminars on clinician burnout. And oftentimes, I would start those sessions by saying, you know, we are living in a paid reality. And the PAID is actually an acronym. So PAID stands for P, pressured, always on, information overload, and distracted. And it's sort of that sort of mind-spinning reality where our attention is just hijacked more often than not. And I guess little did I imagine that this paid reality pre-COVID, that already existed pre-COVID, was going to get this orders of magnitude more pressured with COVID, with more demands to be always on, more information, and not even just information overload, but information that's just constantly changing, because in this current situation, there is no blueprint for what we're going through, and more distracted. And distractions not being, you know, like the distractions that we have to manage, but distractions, these distractions we have now with COVID, some of these distractions are really critically important, right? It's like it's our children, people who have to homeschool, or our parents, or, you know, elderly parents. How do you cohort to keep, you know, my parents safe? Distractions about our own individual safety, you know, staff, clinicians feeling like, well, what if I get sick? Who will take care of my family if I get sick? And so this whole, I guess, context just sort of blossomed and grew in magnitude. And so when I was working on these workshops before COVID on burnout, I came across Schwartz Rounds and found that they just connected so well as a potential tool for the healthcare community. So I think when we started Schwartz Rounds, we said, how do we provide a structured space to make it okay to talk about these very real emotions that can be happening? And back then, I don't know if you know, the mission of Schwartz Rounds is sort of to promote compassionate healthcare and sort of allow patients and their caregivers to relate to one another so that you have hope to the patient and support to caregivers and sustenance to the healing process, much of what Laura mentioned. One of the things that Kenneth Schwartz said back then was he said that the smallest acts of kindness made the unbearable bearable. And so I sort of kind of tucked that in the back of my mind when we go in with the intent of Schwartz Rounds. So at Schwartz Rounds, we create a space. So we create, I would say, permission to have dialogue, to be vulnerable. So so that we can kind of reflect on this humanism of healthcare. It's intentionally not judgmental. So we set the tone of the room to be very different from sort of usual educational sessions. And we set the room not to be hierarchical, meaning we welcome nurses, social workers, physicians, aides, physician assistants, advanced nurse practitioners, physical therapists, community health workers. We've had people who are transporters, people who work in security. It's meant to not be exclusive, but inclusive of everybody who's involved in that team for the patient. And we nurture something that I call psychological safety. So it's sort of a space where every person in the room feels accepted and respected. And that's a safe place to sort of talk and reflect and even maybe take some risks. Personal risk.
And Laura, I know when we were talking earlier, you had mentioned, you know, you had an auditorium full of this cross section of workers in the hospital, and that some of it also then transformed online into chat rooms.
Yeah, and it's interesting because the way that Schwartz Rounds is set up, it's meant to be a confidential space too, to create that safe space. And it's supposed to be in person, at least by tradition. So when COVID happened and everybody, had to social distance and stay at home, the whole organization kind of struggled with, you know, how are we going to do this? Is this a safe enough space? Is this still going to fulfill the mission of Schwartz Rounds? And, you know, we really found out that even if it was different, even if it took some adjustments to getting everybody used to doing things online and, you know, typing into the chat box and feeling satisfied by that, they just needed it. They needed this space and needed some way to connect with each other. And we found over time, because we'd only planned to do these a few weeks in a row and then kind of space it out. I think we went about 12 weeks straight every single week because we had so many people, usually 70 to 100 every single session, jump on and just say, hey, this has been a lifeline for us, just to find some way to connect with each other, just some way to share how we're feeling and to break our isolation and to break some of the loneliness, not just physically, but in our minds, even if we, you know, do have to come to work sometimes. So once people got a little bit used to it, the chat box just started to explode. And I tell you, I think we have more comments now than if they were standing in a room commenting themselves, because we've heard a lot of people say it provides a little extra layer of safety to us, especially when we're feeling so particularly vulnerable that we feel even more comfortable, in a sense, expressing ourselves this way through a chat box, at least for the time being. So it's really become an important tool, and they've been able to use the technology in a way that, at least as much as we can right now, feel fulfilling and help them feel connected.
I think as a physician, I feel like I'm often asked to fix things, right? And so Schwartz Rounds is not about fixing. It's about learning how I can be a better clinician by either understanding my patients and the other members of my team. It's so common in this situation for us to get so task-oriented. It's like, okay, we have all this new information we have to put together, and we've got to take care of our patients, and there's, you know, 5 million new protocols and things that we have to load in our brain and remember them all. And in a way, after a while, after the initial, you know, what's the new protocol is done, we almost feel comfortable, like, oh, okay, so now I know my protocol. And this is sort of saying, you know, it's more than just the protocols. It's the fatigue, it's the exhaustion, it's the grief, it's the insomnia, that isolation. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to get deployed into a clinical unit I've never been in before. It's like I've been thinking about quitting my job, and why did I even get into healthcare? It's saying that we know everybody has these, and it's not to poo-poo them. These are real, and we need to have a place to kind of talk about it, and it's okay to talk about it. It's healthy to talk about it. But I think also a piece of this is to not tell people this is just about you. If you just are more mindful and you're just more reflective, or you just meditate more, you'll be okay. I mean, these psychological kind of effects, or how we maintain our mental health or prevent burnout, or however you want to think about it, is a combination of both that individual as well as the system. And Schwartz Rounds tries to look at how can we create more of that system. Sometimes we use this analogy about the canary in the coal mine. So it's not the canary that's toxic, it's the coal mine. And so as leaders, we have to be just as mindful about how to consider the system and how to consider the interventions to create a system that makes the environment that we happen to be living in right now that has toxic components. How do we make it less toxic? How do we make it a healing environment and a nurturing environment and an environment that is filled with compassion and humanism?
We've got two big things on the landscape. One is the reopening of schools. The other is, you know, reopening of our economy and tourism. And we might see more patients in our hospitals and be dealing with rougher times ahead.
It's interesting that you brought that up, because we were just talking about that earlier today for our next session, knowing that that's coming up. And how might we engage our providers and our healthcare workers in a way that it helps them connect with that. And we were talking about dealing with a change in what may be something of a routine for folks right now, or at least grasping at some type of routine through this COVID crisis. And then this being, for lack of a better word, maybe disrupting that makeshift routine a little bit, and then dealing with that, as I think Dr. Lynn mentioned, at a time when we're so fatigued already. This is not new anymore. And a lot of providers, for all of us in the community, to have the energy at this point in time to now then, oh my gosh, are we going at it again? Or maybe this is still the same wave. But sort of having to come at it at a different angle a little bit, knowing how deep we are into this, and then having to ramp up again and figure out how to deal with it as a society, as a culture, and amongst our community and with ourselves.
We know we're going to have trigger events. And like you said, the school opening is a trigger event, right? And reclosing is also a trigger event. Opening up to tourism is a trigger event. And if we look at the psychological patterns during public disasters, we know there's a little bit of some expectation of emotional highs and lows, you know, that we go through, and they can last for a year or more. So, you know, one of the graphs, we look at this graph, to graph that you can look at emotional highs and lows over a public disaster period. And it goes from at the beginning when you know it's coming, but it's not there yet, and you're anxious, and the threat is there. And then there's this whole period of sort of heroism and cohesion, and the community all comes together, and we're like, oh, we're one big great society and one great community, which is good and wonderful. But also to know that at some point that adrenaline runs out, and emotionally people will get angry and fatigued and cynical, and these trigger events, because I think some of that heroism and cohesion we've passed, but there's still probably some to come. But I think these trigger events create another sense of, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. What are the new rules? What are we going to do? And I think what's important, for at least Laura and I have been talking about what's different about this of COVID and the pandemic, is we use that model, but that model also looks at disasters like hurricane, like Katrina, or a terrorist attack, or like the Boston Marathon bombing. And those, in a way, have sort of a finite start and end. And the pandemic seemingly seems a bit infinite right now. And so I think that adds to that exhaustion, the fatigue, and the moral distress. And I think that's why these system things that we put in place, we can't say, oh, we're just going to put Schwartz Rounds in for 12 sessions or 5 sessions or 20 sessions. It's got to be, if it's an effective intervention, we've got to think about supporting our community for the long haul.
Building emotional resilience for the long haul. That was Laura Hazenfield and Dr. Della Lynn talking with Catherine Cruz about what Queens Health Systems is doing to support its staff during the pandemic. We'll have more later this week about what other hospitals across the state are doing.